Welcome. You are listening to a recording provided for the use of the blind and print impaired. Materials or items read on AIRS LA are the copyright property of the original authors and publishers. No unauthorized use or duplication is permitted.
Today's articles are from the January-February edition, 2025.
The Grumpy Gardener, Our Garden Expert Alleviates Your Growing Pains, by Steve Bender.
Dear Grumpy, howdy Grumpy, how can I follow you? Linda. It's simple. Log into your Facebook account. If you can remember your password, and then click on the search bar that's at the top left corner of the page. Enter Grumpy Gardener in the box and scroll through the results. Okay, are you still with me? Once you see my scowling visage, you can then navigate to my page and click the follow button, or just be old school and walk about 3 steps behind me wherever I go. Sprucing up. My Colorado blue spruce seems a little peaked. The needles aren't as blue as they used to be, and the foliage in general isn't as full. Is there something I can do to bring back its former good looks? Tim. Well, you've already done the most important thing asking me. First, check how much light your spruce is getting. Full sun is best. If that isn't the issue, your tree may be hungry for nutrients. Late winter and early spring, before the buds open, are excellent times to fertilize. Try an organic, slow-release product containing macronutrients, nitrogen, phosphorus, and potassium, as well as micronutrients, sulfur, calcium, and magnesium, and beneficial microbes like Espoma's plantone or holitone. Apply at the rate recommended on the package. Hacked. Are some trees problematic to plant beneath? I'm trying to grow some azaleas under hackberries, but having a hard time. By the way, I hate hackberries. Kathy. You should hate hackberries, Kathy. Despite being native, they are very messy trees. Aphids feed on the leaves and drip sticky honeydew on everything below. Sooty mold then grows on the honeydew and turns the area into mortar. You can place azaleas underneath them as long as you don't mind blackened foliage. But if those trees were mine, they'd soon meet Mr. Chainsaw. Goodbye, sunshine. I have an overgrown lemon tree that's about 6 feet tall and 8 feet wide. I need to cut it back. How? What do I do? Please be graphic. Margie. Warning. Graphic content may not be suitable for minors. It sounds like your tree has grown into a thick, impenetrable mess. You want to open it up so sun and air can reach all of the branches. Begin by pruning out the dead ones. Next, prune off those that grow from the center of the tree, from one side to the other, instead of up and out. If two of them cross or rub, remove one. Also, prune out water sprouts, the thin shoots that grow straight up from a bigger limb without branching. The finished product should have enough space between the branches so a bird could fly through the center of the tree without touching them. I hope my instructions were specific without being offensive. Lots of lilacs. I need to move about 20 lilacs that were planted too close to the sidewalk by a previous owner who was trying to make a privacy hedge. They're 3 to 4 years old and 5 feet tall. I'd appreciate your thoughts on when it's best to tackle the move to a better location in the yard. I've been reading your advice in Southern Living for 10+ years. Jennifer. Only 10? You must still be in high school. Personally, I wouldn't use lilacs for a clipped hedge, because if you prune at the wrong time, you'll cut off all the flower buds. Lilacs without blooms are like Grumpy without a perpetual anger. I hope you have a big yard, as each shrub will grow to be 10 to 15 feet tall and wide. Maybe you can plant them as an informal privacy screen somewhere. Move them while they're still dormant and space them 10 to 15 feet apart. They need good drainage and bloom best in full sun. Fertilize in the spring. Good luck, Grumpy's Gripe of the Month. Anyone who receives the gift of an ornamental vine other than big flowered clematis has likely been grievously wronged. Vines start growing very fast and never stop. They'll smother anything they use for support, such as a tree, shrub, arbor, trellis, or old Uncle Bill snoozing in the hammock. Whether they're native or not, this makes them quite invasive. Some kinds spread from their roots, like a trumpet vine, Japanese honeysuckle, and wisteria, from dropped seeds, morning glory, and cypress vine, or from showy fruits that are eaten and scattered by birds, oriental, bittersweet, or porcelain berry. Other types simply clamber up a tree and grab hold of the one next to it, kudzu, ivy, and akebia. So question the motives of the giver. They may have a score to settle. Double-take flowering quince. This new and improved version of an old favorite gives a better show with less care, by Steve Bender. If you think flowering quince is passé, an innovative series called Double Take from Proven Winners will change your mind. First, it's thornless, so you won't get scratched while cutting the flowers or clipping the branches to force into bloom indoors. Second, it forms a tidy shrub, about 4 feet tall and wide, and needs little pruning. Most importantly, its large, ruffled blossoms offer colors of scarlet, orange, peach, and white, and last longer than those older types. Plants may even rebloom lightly in late summer. Adapted to USDA zones 5 to 9, Double Take is deer resistant and likes locations with full sun and well-drained soil. Be on the lookout for it at garden centers this spring. Dollywood has a story to tell. One of the top theme parks in the world marks its 40th season, thanks in part to Barbara Walters and a trusted bus driver, by Valerie Fraser Lucy. Dollywood was never about all the roller coasters, at least not just about the roller coasters. Years before, her namesake park in Pigeon Forge, Tennessee, became a reality, Dolly told journalist Barbara Walters that she dreamed of building a Smoky Mountain fairyland, something that could capture and celebrate the spirit of her Appalachian home. That 1982 TV interview caught the attention of brothers Pete and Jack Hershend, who had successfully transformed a Branson, Missouri cave attraction into a theme park called Silver Dollar City, before adding a sister location in Tennessee. Although the brothers could see the potential in a partnership with Dolly, they were a bit in awe, says Hershend CEO Andrew Wexler. Dolly was at the time a shooting star, this amazing entertainer, and hugely, wildly popular. As it turned out, the general manager of the Tennessee Silver Dollar City had come over from the original park in Branson and knew Dolly's bus driver, who was from Southwest Missouri. So the manager reached out to the driver to see if they could set up a meeting. Dolly and the Hershends not only met, but also found some common ground, philosophically. Wexler says the brothers had always believed that taking care of their employees, their guests, and their community was just as important as making money. Dolly has the same philosophy, he notes. She really wants to make sure that the people around her are taken care of and her fans are taken care of. That's why when they first met, she and the Hershends knew it was a match made in heaven and that it was going to be a perfect partnership. A reimagined Silver Dollar City opened as Dollywood in 1986, and the attendance more than doubled in its first year. Dollywood is now the biggest employer in both Pigeon Forge and Sevier County, not to mention a major contributor to Tennessee's state coffers. It brings more than 2 million people to the area every year, and in the process helps provide some 23,000 jobs in the Sevier County region, A 2021 Tennessee Department of Transportation study listed Dollywood's annual economic impact on the state at $1.8 billion. Meanwhile, the Dollywood Foundation supports the Imagination Library and other programs that aid people in need and promote education and creativity. Dolly Parton's reputation as a world-renowned entertainer, businesswoman, and philanthropist puts Pigeon Forge in the spotlight alongside Dollywood, says Leon Downey, the executive director of the Pigeon Forge Department of Tourism. Beyond the revenue her properties generate, Pigeon Forge gets immeasurable media coverage and exposure, bringing folks from all around the world to the Great Smoky Mountains. Since 1986, Dollywood has steadily increased its attractions and lengthened its operating season. It now welcomes guests nearly 300 days per year, from mid-March through early January, with hopes to stay open year-round in the future. The park has grown to encompass 165 acres and over 50 rides and attractions, as well as Dollywood's Splash Country Water Park, which is open from mid-May to September. Dream More Resort and Spa, Heartsong Lodge and Resort, and, as of 2024, the Dolly Parton Experience. This latest addition takes visitors on an interactive journey through her life and career. A calendar full of festivals updated for the 40th season includes the Sweet Summer Nights Dance Party and Drone Show during the Smoky Mountain Summer Celebration. There will also be a full stage production, Play On, to honor the history of all the performances that this place has put on over the years. Each operating day in 2025 will begin with a new opening ceremony. And, of course, visitors can expect some major holiday magic during Dollywood's annual Smoky Mountain Christmas, which Amusement Today listed among its Golden Ticket Awards legends, the best of the best in 2024. One of the six Golden Ticket Awards that were garnered by Dollywood that go round. Also, last year, TripAdvisor named Dollywood the number one theme park in the U.S. and included it in their top 10 in the world. Sure, the roller coasters certainly have something to do with that, delivering an all-important adrenaline rush. But they're not the source of Dollywood's staying power. To achieve decades of sustainability, Wexler says you have to make an emotional bond with the families. There's a science around knowing what people will connect to, he explains. But there's also the idea that everybody wants to feel taken care of, safe, like they belong. And Dolly's spirit is that of connection, of creating environments where people just feel loved. If you talk to her, she's just the sweetest, nicest person with a great sense of humor. And so we just collaborate with her on building these environments that people will love. On behalf of Pigeon Forge, Downey says, there's no greater tourism ambassador than Dolly. Breakfast for dessert. Buttery croissants dress up classic bread pudding. Croissant bread pudding. Active 30 minutes. Total 1 hour 55 minutes. Serves 12. 4 large eggs, 3 cups, half and half, 1 cup granulated sugar, 1/4 cup unsalted butter melted, plus more for greasing the dish, 2 teaspoons vanilla extract, 1 teaspoon ground cinnamon, 1/2 teaspoon kosher salt, 8 plain croissants split, powdered sugar, melted vanilla ice cream, optional for serving. Step 1. Whisk together eggs, half and half, granulated sugar, melted butter, vanilla, cinnamon, and salt in a large bowl until well combined. Step 2. Cut split croissants in half using a serrated knife. Reserve the tops. Cut the croissant bottoms into 1 to 2 inch pieces to yield about 8 cups, and arrange in an even layer in a buttered 13 by 9 inch 3-quart baking dish. Pour about half of the egg mixture over the croissant pieces. Dip the croissant tops and the remaining egg mixture until just soaked. Then arrange the cut sides down in an even layer over the croissant pieces in the dish. Pour remaining egg mixture over the top. Cover with aluminum foil and let stand at room temperature for 30 minutes. Preheat the oven to 350 degrees Fahrenheit. Step 3. Bake covered for 45 minutes. Uncover and bake until the top is golden brown and the center is set. 10 to 15 minutes more. Dust with powdered sugar. Drizzle with melted ice cream before serving, if desired. Two more to try. Chocolate croissant bread pudding. Prepare the recipe as directed through step 1. In step 2, substitute chocolate-filled croissants cut into quarters for the plain ones. Arrange the croissant pieces in a buttered baking dish. Pour all of the egg mixture over the top and sprinkle evenly with 1 cup semi-sweet chocolate chips. In step 3, bake as directed, but omit the powdered sugar. Drizzle with melted ice cream before serving, if desired. Almond raspberry croissant bread pudding. In step 1, reduce the granulated sugar to 2/3 cup. In step 2, substitute almond croissants cut into 1 to 2 inch pieces for the plain ones. Arrange the croissant pieces in a buttered baking dish and dollop 1 cup seedless raspberry preserves evenly over the top. Pour all of the egg mixture over the top and sprinkle with 1/2 cup sliced almonds. In step 3, bake as directed. Omit the powdered sugar, but top with fresh raspberries. Drizzle with the melted ice cream before serving, if desired. We have come to the end of our program. I'm Joyce Davis, and I will be back soon.